Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
All of us at Podcast One want to say thank you for listening to this show. We would also like to ask a small favor of you. It'll take less than 10 minutes, and if you're one of the first few people to fill out the survey, we'll give you something for your time. We would like you to complete a short survey for us to help make things better around here. Just go to listeningsurvey.com, and everything will be right there for you. That's listeningsurvey.com. The first 125 people to go and complete this survey will get a $10 gift certificate to restaurant.com, and there is a chance to win an additional $100 Amazon gift card. Filling out the survey will really help us out. Go to listeningsurvey.com, and thanks for listening.
And now, Sonny Carolla reads a tweet from James Woods.
Oh, why don't you just stand by voting booths and hand out cash? Stop embarrassing yourself.
Now, back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Bobby Slayton is our guest. Bobby Slayton is a comedian that I've known since the Kevin and Bean days.
Yes.
Bobby's got shows coming up, Hermosa Beach Comedy Magic Club this Friday. Brea Improv coming up Saturday the 15th, so that's Friday, that's Saturday. We will be at the Moore Theater this Thursday doing a live show. That'll be tomorrow night, so you can see us on the 13th. So everyone's going to be everywhere.
And,
good to see you, Bobby.
You know, this is really weird, because I've not worked, I've been doing this, I hate to say, for 40 years of stand-up crap, and I don't think I've taken more than 2 or 3 weeks off in my life, and I have not worked since April. It's been almost five months that I've taken off, but the summer's over, fall has come, and Boo Radley comes out of the house. But you know, it's really weird, because people always say, well, you've been doing it for 40 years, it's like riding a bike or swimming. But you ask any comic, and they'll tell you that if you're off, you know, if you're not working for a week or two, you need like a show to get back into the rhythm. You need like a show to get back. And if you take 3 or 4 weeks off, and that's why every time you hear like somebody like Chris Rock or somebody doing a special, you know, they pop into the Comedy Cellar, you got to work for months. So it's really kind of intimidating and weird to have taken so much time off
stand-up. What are the recollections you have from Kevin and Bean and back in the day and Jimmy in that weird little corner office with Frank Murphy there?
Oh, my God.
Burbank.
Oh, my God.
What we call the Daltz building, which was on Olive, I think.
You know what? There were so many radio shows that the thing is about L.A. is that since there weren't that many clubs to play back then. You know, I play the improv, but they don't pay any money, and neither does a comedy store. So why should I get up at 6:30 in the morning and do radio? So I only did the show once or twice a year if I was playing like the Irvine Improv. If there was a show where I was making money or getting maybe a small cut at the door. But all of a sudden I start thinking back to that office and I go, well, you know what? Wait, maybe that was Cleveland. Maybe that was, maybe that wasn't Kevin and Bean. Maybe that was the Siegfried and Roy radio hour. Maybe that was, there were so many radio shows in so many towns. And then these guys, like baseball players, they start to move to other cities. And then,
right. Oh,
I just saw you. No, I was in Dallas last time. Now I'm in Austin. Now I'm in New York. So everybody keeps moving around and formats change and people get fired and people quit. So I don't really remember anything. Plus the drugs and the old age. You put all that together with a bottle of wine every day and no sleep, and I don't remember shit. But here's what I do remember. The last time I did your show, and I can't believe it's been 3 years since I've been on your show.
Wow.
And I need closure for I don't know if it was an argument we were having. It was a discussion, but I think it was more of like an argument. Because you and I were talking about, and I remember this, that I was talking about how horrible music was, rock and roll especially in the 1980s, and you were sticking up for the 1980s, maybe because you grew up, maybe because you're younger than I am, and I just remember music being shit in the 80s.
I wouldn't stick up for 80s rock and roll. I was sticking up for 80s, like, the Pretenders' first album, or Joe Jackson, or Elvis Costello, like that kind of music.
I'm trying to apologize.
Not 80s rock and roll.
I'm looking for closure and apologize. He's got to drag this argument out. No, what it was also, I went this morning and I looked. I said, well, maybe Carolla's right. There was some great albums, the Pretenders, but some of my favorite bands, like the Stones and McCartney and Springsteen, put out some of their lesser music in the 80s.
Yes.
Not bad, still great. But when people are amazing musicians and you expect this level of incredible music, so when they do something less and stellar. That's why I love Journey so much. They've managed to suck from 1980 to today. They've been very consistent, Journey. They've never let you down whatsoever. It's been a consistent trend to put out shitty music every decade. So I like them for that.
The 80s basically just had like 80 and 81 and 82, and then all the hair bands were horrible.
Right,
all the Flock of Seagulls shit, all the middle 80s stuff, all the rock and roll, everything was bad. All 80s was bad except for the very beginning. Go ahead, Brian.
No, I was going to say it was delivered journey, but you're right. It started off okay, then it just quickly tapered.
But you got to give him credit, because what other major, major rock and roll band, whether you like him or not, can take some homeless guy from the Philippines and make him lead singer? I don't think the Stones. Hey, you know,
but hold on.
I could see Keith Richards going, you know, Mick quit. Well, we got this guy from Manila. We found him living in his parents' basement. He's going to be the new Jagger.
But think about Journey, not sonically, but think about the visuals. I mean, those videos of them being on a dock in Oakland without their instruments.
Find the Separate Ways video.
Playing.
Oh, no, yes.
Playing. I mean, think about the visual feast of seeing guys.
The instruments aren't there. They're there.
Seeing guys wearing stonewashed denim standing on an empty pier next to a storage facility with no instruments, snapping their fingers while a five and a half that they found at a junior college walked down that same pier.
You mean Jersey 10?
Yeah.
I'm sorry I brought this up.
You gotta watch this video. It's like Peter Gabriel must have saw this and never stopped vomiting. Like, what is going on? I just shot a fruit salad. It took 9 months. What's...
Yes!
Chick's not hot. They're not doing anything other than, like, leaning into the camera. They must have shot this video in the time... the actual song took to play, right?
There's a guy air keyboarding.
And he's into it. He means it.
Oh, I believe him. Yeah, turn it up. Come on.
Her hair is awesome.
I like the air drummer.
Look at way back there.
He's like, where's my riser?
He's just clawing at the air.
Has there ever been less production in anything? Not a music video. I'm talking about tutorials and training videos, like around the office.
Was there ever a poor choice to go without sleeves?
I know. Here, let's get on some pallets. Wait a minute. Did the drummer pick up an air guitar? Hold on a second. Was that guy who was drumming?
Oh shit! Oh, no, he's defying gravity!
Was the guy drumming?
Yes, he picked up a guitar.
You don't play the air drums and then just seamlessly dovetail over and segue over to the air guitar.
Was he wearing a foosball shirt?
Oh, please stop this.
Yeah.
Where'd she go?
All right.
Was that the 80s?
Is this the biggest zero of a... Yeah.
Was that the 80s?
You know who went their separate ways? The band and the creative director of this video, because there was no anything to this video. It was like literally them standing on a pile of pallets looking at the camera playing air instruments while a chick that wasn't attractive walked away.
You got to remember the Stones also, my favorite band ever. Remember they did a thing dressed up in sailor suits with bubbles? You know, so I think though,
when you do a video, don't you have to storyboard it? What was the storyboard for this?
Music videos came way too fast for certain bands. Way too fast.
But this is still...
The Stones need to ease in that whole era.
This song is like long after or quite some time like after like the Tubes did some of their crazy videos,
She's a beauty, right?
And Peter Gabriel stuff, and like the people were out there doing stuff. Michael Jackson was doing stuff, you know what I mean? This is what years?
MTV debuted in 81 or 82, and this song came out in 83. So I feel like certain bands this came on way too fast for.
That video came out in 83,
yeah,
huh?
It is my time.
All right. Well, let me tell you.
Duran was like, this is what we need.
Oh, they're on the front of a vessel going through the Mediterranean.
How dare you? Rio.
Oh, Rio.
Rio de Janeiro.
What ocean is that?
I had a big problem with that band because I hosted this Bay Area Music Awards show back in the 80s or the 90s. You know, it was like a takeoff on the Grammys because the Bay Area, San Francisco, I mean, a lot of bands came out of there from the Doobie Brothers, Jefferson Airplane, Journey, Santana, Greg Ginn, Huey Lewis. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. So I hosted this big show, and every year they would give the best, you know, best award for guitar player to Santana because it was the same people over and over again. So it's about 5,000 people in the Bill Graham Memorial Theater. I think it was called that before he even died. They knew he was going to die, so they named it before. So it was 4,000 music fans, and there were a couple of hundred rock and rollers. So the fans were all there to see the Doobie Brothers in Journey. They couldn't give a rat's ass about the awards. So I made some joke about Joan Baez, who did all these benefits, and I had some joke about her doing a benefit for the gay feminist Cambodian Wales, and there was a lesbian record company from Oakland at the time. And once they heard gay and feminist and lesbian, whatever those buzzwords, so they started booing. And then Journey was drunk, and they started throwing champagne corks at me. So I said, Steve Perry is sitting there, and he is to rock and roll what Jim Nabors is to opera. You know, it was a joke that I had prepared because I knew those assholes were going to give me shit. And they got more drunk, and the whole crowd was there to see Journey. They couldn't give her, like I said, a rat's ass about the award show. So every time I go back out there to bring on, you know, Herb Cain or Joe Montana or I think Bill
Some
Graham.
Some of the legends.
Everybody was booing because I get these people so riled up that – I thought they were looking for Springsteen, but they were booing. They weren't yelling Bruce. Yeah, yeah. So every time, halfway through the show, their fat manager, Herbie Herbert, he insisted that the producers cancel me from the show, and the band had to play the rest of the show. But Journey, what a bunch of douchebags. So I have a personal problem.
It's weird when you talk to guys like Bobcat Goldthwait, and they talk about opening for Nirvana and stuff like that. And this notion, I don't think it happens anymore. The comedian opening for the band.
How does that work?
That was big for a long time.
It was huge. And it would take place on a high level and a small level. Like, I remember.
My parents saw Steve Martin open for something like Chicago, one of their bands. Here in Chicago.
He did a lot. Yeah, he did a lot.
And I remember one of the, it always cracked me up because I was talking to a guy on Kimmel flying back from the Super Bowl when it was in Houston, and he was explaining that he was in the improv troupe, the Frayed Knots.
Yes.
That was make fun stuff. Of. And I said to him, what did you guys do? Like, how did you? Because I was in an improv troupe. It's tough to make money as an improv troupe. And he said, we had a couple of gigs. You know, we'd get gigs now and again. And I'd go, give me a bad gig. And he said, we opened for Pat Travers at the Coach House. And I'm like, Pat Travers is like a hard-driven rock and roll straight-ahead dude. He thinks he's in Boom Boom, Out Go the Lies. And these guys, the Coach House is one of those hardcore places halfway to San Diego and like San Juan Capistrano. And that was like a tough group, like a biker audience. And they didn't want to, they didn't want suggestions from an improv troop coming out there. But it's also weird, like, you're there to see Pat Travers. Just go see. Ready to fight. I've been looking for my baby all night.
It's improv music. Improv rock. Right.
Boom, boom. Out go life.
What were these poor guys supposed to do?
You know, but it's also weird. Like, just your parents are there to see Chicago or there to see Pat Travers or there to see Journey. What do we need opening?
You know,
why do we need Bobcat Goldthwait?
I did it a lot. I did a lot more than Goldthwait. I was the guy in San Francisco that, you know, it was me and Dana Carvey. Robin Williams was just starting to make it pretty big. So, and Dana would open up. Dana and Kevin Pollak would open up for the Beach Boys, Pablo Cruz, you know, and bands that were, you know, you had people that were listening. And then they'd call me. I think they paid the $25 or $50. And it was me. I think Bruce Baum opened for Blue Oyster Cult, which was impossible. But you know what? There were a lot of gigs. Warren Zevon's audience. There were people in their 20s and 30s. That wasn't so hard. Because all I asked and all the comedian wanted was that on the bill, as small as our name was, let people know when the lights go down, a comedian's coming on. Let them know.
Right.
So you can either go out and take a leak, go order a beer, show up late, smoke a cigarette.
Right.
And and I remember once I'm opening for Eddie Money up in Tahoe, and all I wanted was July 4th weekend. And I, you know, I played up in the Bay Area a lot, so I had a little bit of a following. I was a decent comic back then, not great like I am today, I think.
Sure.
I haven't done it for 4 months, we'll see. But anyway, so Eddie Money's name was up on the marquee, and my name wasn't there. So my agent, it was 4th of July weekend, there was nothing they could do. The lights go down, and, you know, the comedian comes on. And I mean, it was fine. You get them after a few minutes, but being a comic or being for a band, you already have two strikes against you. And I remember, so I'd open up for Ray Charles. I'd open up a few Lewis. And, you know, I, I had a little bit. I opened for the Tubes a lot. So when I came down to L.A., the Tubes were playing a club, and they asked me to be on the bill. I think it was like $50, and it was a club in Encino. Everybody standing up. This is the worst thing for a comic. Not only opening for a rock band, people aren't even seated. And I said, I can't go on it. These people are screaming. They're crazy. And Fee Waybill, a great go Fee. I can't go on. There's nobody.
He's the main guy.
Yeah,
and head weirdo.
Yeah, yeah. And he went out there. And he goes, everybody shut up. I'm bringing on a friend of mine. He's a great comedian. And I got through my 20 minutes. I'm not saying it was something it wasn't a Showtime special. But I don't know whether the lead singer would go out there, shut everybody up, and you know, and they listen to him, and they put up with my show.
Brian, I want you to do a little legwork here, because you hear about all these bands kind of making the rounds and doing the nostalgia shows and stuff like that. The Tubes, I don't hear about
them.
They're
still around. They're still playing.
I'm curious. Oh, there you go. There's your answer. All right. This half of the show brought to you by Glip. Go to glip.com/Adam. Blue Apron at blueapron.com/Adam. TrueCar.com. Download that app. And Geico. Go to geico.com. And let me tell you about Glip, as long as we're getting some bills paid around here. Get better, faster, team collaboration free. Glip, that's with a G. Superior team messaging without the limitations. You can share and collaborate on files, create, manage tasks to deliver projects faster, screen share to collaborate instantly with your teams and clients. 69% of workers waste up to 60 minutes a day. I'll just say almost 70% of workers waste an hour a day navigating between apps. That's up to 32 days a year when you add it all up. Smart teams use Glip. Messaging and collaboration in one digital workspace. Sign up for a free Glip account and get unlimited access to team messaging, task managing, file sharing, and more. Go to Glip. That's Glip with a G. Glip.com/Adam. That's GLIP.com/Adam, and try it out for free. Yes.
You just missed the Tubes at the Rose in Pasadena in March.
Oh,
they were,
man.
Just there. You can still catch them in where are they?
They play the Coach House a lot, too. By the way, speaking of music, Adam, one of our favorite groups, one of our favorite musicians, actually, has a new album out this weekend. He deserves a plug. The great, legendary, incredible, underrated, underappreciated Graham Parker.
Graham Parker. We love Graham Parker. Graham Parker fan.
You know, as a matter of fact, I was going to open up for him when Squeezing Out Sparks came out. At the last minute, they decided not to use a comic. But you know what? When you ask him about
Squeezing Out Sparks is 1979, if you want to go that far back.
How great was that album? And it still holds up today.
I love that album. And if you guys want to listen to little Graham Parker, get Squeezing Out Sparks or The Up Escalator, the next album.
You know, I was playing in Boston. I was in Boston a couple of years ago, and I said, there's this little club, maybe 100 seats. Graham Parker was playing there on a Friday night. I'm going, you know, it doesn't make me feel so bad that I'm still playing comedy clubs after 40 years. When I see a giant talent who Bruce Springsteen said the only guy he would pay to go see is Graham Parker. And I see Graham Parker, and I said, I'll never get into the club. I had to call in favors. And the club said, we're not sold out. We still have 10 seats left. And I'm like, fuck, Graham Parker on a Friday night still has 10 seats left. And I felt
bad.
Well,
it's what – it's why this business is sort of poetic and sad at the same time. Like, I remember – going to Santa Barbara to see Graham Parker many years ago at like a smallish venue. And because when you're young, you're getting the records, you're seeing the records, you're seeing them play at the, you know, I think I saw him and John Hyatt play together at the Greek and stuff like that. And then we went to, me and a friend of mine, Alex, we go, we're going to go see Graham Parker in Santa Barbara. We drove up to Santa Barbara. We were there like 2 hours early. And we're like, well, let's have some Thai food before we go in and see our rock legend, Graham Parker. And we're sitting at the Thai food place. And the guy sitting alone two tables away is Graham Parker. He's sitting at the Thai food. And I'm like, why aren't you doing some coke or in an orgy or something? This is rock and roll. And it's like, nah, not for him. He's eating Thai food at the same place we're eating Thai food at before. Well, it's a gig.
Yeah.
And it's that way with rock and roll. It's that way with comedy. It's that way with acting. Well, it's that way with everything.
You know, it's funny because, again, 40 years I'm doing this and I'm not working all these clubs as much as I used to because there's so many new young comics and people my age aren't going to comedy clubs. You know, the millennials, and there's 1,000 Netflix specials. So I said to myself, well, you know what? I have a nice house. I don't have cancer. Half my friends are doing better than me, and half of them are dead. So, I mean, it's fine. Mm-hmm. You can look at it. You know,
really like find the sweet spot.
Yeah, no, I'm right in the middle there. Everything is fine. But, you know, and it's been great taking some time off. I'm kind of, in a way, looking forward to going back to it. But audiences are so fucked up now. You know, it's you get all it takes is one or two tables of douchebags. And you think people over the years would just get better and would learn and just be a little bit more cooperative. And if you don't like the show, you know, but sitting there tweeting and looking at their phones. And
yeah, and however you respond to it, it's going to be all over viral right. The next day.
You know, but what you do. I remember last time I did Corolla's show. It doesn't matter how many people like you. Why do you put this guy in the show? The worst comic. This guy's such a hack. And you always, you know, you always see the bad ones. You don't look at any of the good ones.
I think you see the good ones, and the good ones don't register. Like, when is the last time you came home and told your spouse about how courteous somebody was on the road?
Exactly.
You don't go, wow, this guy left a big berth for me, and he waved me ahead, and he must have known I was running late. It's always like, this douche cut me off, and I gave him a toot on the horn, just a light toot on the horn, and the fucking bird came flying out. And so I got in front of him, and I was like, fuck you. But it's like, your brain, there are times, this is interesting, I will bet you there are probably more instances of somebody being courteous, somebody waving
sure,
you past at a stop sign or whatever, than there are people cutting you off or cutting in front of you. There are probably more instances of people stopping and going, like, you take the parking space rather than zooming in and stealing your parking space. But as human beings, and especially as comedians, the only things that registered are that.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I once thought about, like, someone said to me, we're going to do a man show bit, and we're like, we're going to talk to all the girls that dumped Adam in the past, and now we're going to laugh because he's on TV now or whatever it is. And then I think, like, Jimmy said, well, who dumped you versus you dumping them? And I was like, everyone dumped me. Yeah. And I was like, who did you dump? And I was like, nobody. I always was dumped. Right. And then we started, like, going back and getting hold of the girls, and they were like, oh, no, he dumped me. And I was like, no, she dumped me.
Like,
it doesn't feel, I don't feel as much like a loser as I should. Like, it all went down as they dumped me. It all went down as they cut in front of me. We never remember. You just don't remember. Right. Who do you remember? Remember the people that, we remember our unrequited love. Right. What about the people that were in love with us that we never, it was unrequited, that we never went back to or we kind of knew about, but just we were too busy being dumped by somebody else.
Yeah. A great example is customer service. How often do things go exactly as planned, totally smooth transactions, someone's very pleasant, they solve your problem, versus the one time or the one out of 10 times where it really sticks and you're crying, like, oh, I've been screwed by this company again.
Well, airlines, especially because as a comic, you fly a lot. And, you know, look, I fly a couple airlines and I'm pretty loyal to them, so I get my points. And for the most part, you know, you get to somewhere on time, you get there early, but you always remember when they screwed you, when they lose your luggage. Nobody writes the airlines, hey, that was a great flight.
Yep.
We got in on time. It's always a luggage problem, a flight attendant problem, a food problem.
And basically, I'm going to make sure the world knows about it.
Life is basically hiring movers, which I've always thought about, which is nobody hires movers, has everything go great, and then thinks, man, am I blessed. This is awesome. But you can move in Candy Spelling's 7,000 million square foot room, and you chip one end table, and it's a fucking disaster.
Right.
Like, you ask Candy, how'd the move go? Don't get me started. These guys said they're going to be done by 4. They're done by 4:45. They chip one of the end tables. Like, I mean, it's like, nobody ever goes, everything has been moved. If you think about it, it's pretty monumental, you know? All my shit is over here, and I want to take every single stitch of it and put it inside that other building. And one little end table gets chipped in this, put it up in a truck and wrap everything with furniture pads and do everything. We expect way too much out of life. Just the fact that you got all the shit out of this building and into that building in one day, and it was done, pretty good. But we're so focused on, I told them to put the love seat in the entry hall, and they fucking put it in my daughter's room, and now it's a disaster.
Yep.
Yep. We should stop being that way.
Well, we should. And that's why I we should. And we all should. There's a lot of things we should do. But that's why I've kind of distanced myself from the human race. But unfortunately, when you're a comic.
Bobby, that was kind of us doing it to you. That wasn't
see,
you.
We had a meeting and decided we needed a left lane
in our life.
All right. All right, it's fine. No, but I think when you're out there and you're dealing with people every day, I mean, look, you do live shows, but, you know, it's one thing. You know, when you're here in a booth, although you do take calls, so you do, you know, hear opinions from people. But, you know, when you have to deal with them as much as I do, the people bitching all the time. You know, we'll do two sold out shows and the second show will start 10 minutes late. And people will be, oh, it's supposed to be at 10. It's 10:10. But like you said, they just, some
but
people
But Bobby,
just can't make
well, here's an interesting thing. Do you feel, now, I don't know how much bitching like the Dalai Lama has to hear. You know what I mean?
I hope not much.
But
it's all existential.
Bobby Slayton and Adam Carolla, we are just empty hampers, and we're saying, throw your bitch drawers in us.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, you're Bob, you bitch, I bitch, we bitch.
Oh, you're
so
right.
Bring on the bitch. You know what I mean? Like, in a way, aren't you cultivating that?
Yeah,
like,
so
you're saying, yes. Bobby, go bitch at him. He loves it.
You know what? You're right. I feel like I could do it. I guess other people can bitch back. I just don't like that. You know.
Yeah. And like, I don't know. Like, how much shit do they talk to Wilford Brimley's face? You know what I mean? Like, is there a lot of shit and bitching going on, or do we feel like there's a more of a respect, like for Wilford or Dolly?
Was that the example?
But I mean, like, when you're.
For Cocoon.
Donna Meachie.
But when you're you or a sort of like-minded comedian or someone who's known for this sort of thing,
It's interesting you bring this up, Adam, because, you know, my mother called me the other night to wish me Happy New Year. She does this every year, and I always forget
Jewish.
It's Jewish New Year. I went to Hebrew school. I don't know anything about my religion. And I don't know what she then, my manager, I just want to say Happy New Year. Oh, yeah, it's a Jewish New Year. Anyway, it ends, I think, Monday or Tuesday with the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. Maybe I'll atone and stop bitching. But if I do that, then I won't have a job. I mean, you know, any comedian, whether it's from the late great Sam Kennison to somebody nice and mild and wonderful like Jerry Seinfeld, it's all about bitching. And what you do is about bitching. I mean, we all do it in different ways, in different styles.
I get it. I'm just saying, I think once you open, it's like if you swear a lot, people will swear in front of you.
Yeah.
If you don't swear, they'll tend to tamp it down.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe we're just getting what we're pushing out there.
You bitch a lot, Adam. And But what's really weird is that you actually did not bitch about the pineapple pizza, that you like that. And, you know, that's something that I didn't think a guy like you would really appreciate, pineapple pizza.
Because he's a nuanced guy.
No, because, I'll tell you what's funny is Kimmel. Does he know that you like pineapple pizza?
I said, this is going to turn into an issue.
No. Okay. Because I guess I'm good to tell you.
It's not the kind of thing I share with him.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I got yelled at once for saying that I liked eating at this Italian place.
I saw Jimmy over the weekend at Chris Bianco. Of course, you know Chris.
Sure.
One of the greatest pizza makers of all time. And I've always, I'm like Jimmy in the fact that I'm a pizza aficionado. And I go back to New York and I take my girlfriend, who never was out of California until a couple of years ago, eating pizza. And she realized, oh, there's this place in New York, there's Lombardi's, there's clam and garlic, and she thinks Chris Bianco is the best. Anyway, we went to this thing the other day, and me and Jimmy are talking pizza, Bianco's sauce, and I'm walking to this big thing called Alex's Lemonade, which is a benefit for childhood cancer, and every top restaurant in LA is there. And there's a place called Urban Pizza, and the guy had ham and pineapple pizza. He was the only, besides Chris Bianco, I think he was the only one making pizza. Mutzen and cut, and just on and on. So I walked over to it, and the crust looked delicious, and I tried the pineapple and ham pizza, and I got to tell you something. It was a great fucking slice of pizza. Yeah. Would I do it again? It's like gay sex. Once is enough. Even though I've never done that. But
you get the idea.
Like heroin. I wouldn't do it again.
Did Jimmy witness this?
No.
Okay. Let's keep it that way.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Speaking
of delicious.
I agree. Speaking of food, let's go Blue Apron. Farm fresh, pre-portioned ingredients, step-by-step recipes delivered right to your door. Let Blue Apron do the meal prep and make back to school easier. Dinner in as little as 20 minutes. Quick, easy, and insanely tasty. Skip the meal planning and get straight to the cooking. It's the best. I've said many times, I was bitching about Olga earlier, but one of her greatest moves is she'll leave out like 3 Blue Apron glossy photo menu cards.
Mm-hmm.
And she'll leave them because she knows, first I fan myself.
Like a
Spanish dancer
yeah.
with those things. And then I'll look at them and I'll put the one I want on top and I'll set it on top of the counter, and then I'll leave.
She'll cook the other
and
one.
That thing will be ready. That thing will be waiting for me when I get back. And God, sometimes it is a Sophie's choice of what are we going with. Anyway, it's easy, quick, it's simple, and you can check out this week's menu and get your first three meals for free at blueapron.com/Adam. It's better than it needs to be. That's all I will promise you.
They're great.
They are great. Three meals, your first three for free at blueapron.com/Adam. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll come back and do the news with Gina and Bobby Slayton right after this.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gina Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Eat news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
We were talking earlier about delayed gratification, how that might build character for kids, make you a better adult. A Georgia charter school has another idea. They are bringing back paddling. Officially, the Georgia School for Innovation and the Classics had a letter sent home to the parents of its students to inform them a new corporal punishment policy is being put into action. However, no student will be subject to paddling unless the parent signs off on it, which states that students from kindergarten through ninth will face a three-strike policy, meaning they won't get paddled until their third strike. According to the guidelines, parents will be notified before their child is paddled. The punishment will be taken behind closed doors. With the students placing their hands on their knees, and no student will receive no more than three licks, it says.
There needs to be a calibrated paddle machine because
the holes.
There's a lot of variables here. You know what I mean? Like, it's
wind
hard
resistance.
To tell. Well, there could be a woman. There could be a guy. The guy could be angry. The guy could have had too much coffee that morning. You know, the guy could have just got served with divorce papers and had double cappuccino, and they just got back from the gym. And you know what I mean?
Like, and on the other hand, you could be a ninth grade boy. Your teacher could be Stormy Daniels.
Yeah.
You could want to be punished and not do your homework on purpose. So you do get paddled. Very complicated.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
You think this needs to be automated?
It'd be nice to have a paddling machine.
Regulated.
Yeah.
And you just do it like at the batting cage where you can go into the slow pitch or the 50 mile an hour or the 90 mile an hour, whenever, big arc, unlimited arc, and, you know, just kind of regulate it. And that way, because now there's going to be claims that the girl got paddled harder, the black kid got a harder paddle than them. You know, we just need a setting. I'd like to work on the paddling machine.
If this note came home with Sonny and Natalia, how say you?
Oh, go ahead. I don't care.
I don't want this on. No, somebody's got to do it.
Here's how the conversation would work. Do you want the paddling? I don't know. How much? What, free? Oh, yeah. Sure. Yeah. Sign them up.
Double down.
It's free. It's free. Sign them up. Because, look, by the time they get to their third strike, that's fine.
They've earned it.
Yeah. How many strikes? I mean, you get three strikes, but how many strikes with the paddle? So just one?
Three licks.
Three licks and three strikes.
Yeah, on your third strike, you get three licks.
Mm-hmm.
Wooden paddle.
All right.
Get you ready for hazing.
It's weird that I see people. I was in the marina last week, and I saw all the people standing up doing the paddle boarding, and now we're bringing the paddles back to school. That paddle's one of those things that stood the test of time.
Yeah.
You know, it was 2018, and we're still relying heavily on the paddle. You would have thought when Lewis and Clark were, you know, going up the Mississippi that, you know, several hundred years later, we'd be so reliant.
Yeah.
The Chris Biancos of the world using paddles to, like, stir their sauce in the giant industrial mixers.
They use a big flat one to get the pizza out.
That's right.
Yeah, we're relying in this modern era very heavily upon the paddle. Yeah.
Speaking of which, do you say paddle boats or pedal boats?
Oh, I don't know.
I've always said paddle boats, but someone corrected me. You know,
I would never correct you. I would never correct you. That was one more thing we didn't do at the park because it wasn't free.
Right.
Like, you guys can run through the sprinklers until you get sunstroke. That's fine.
Sure.
But the paddle,
that's
or
like
pedal
50
boats,
cents an hour. Yeah,
they're going to want a deposit, a $2 an hour or something. Like, no.
Whatever you call it, the answer is no.
Yeah.
Right.
Got to rent a vest. Well, Donald Trump on Monday continued to slam Bob Woodward's forthcoming book, calling it a joke and vowing to write his own book on his presidency. Trump tweeted early Monday. that the veteran journalist book Fear is, quote, just another.
It'd for sure be a pop-up book, right? He'd be wearing a crown and be all buff, you know, and everything.
Paint
his sleeves
numbers,
would be off his suit and his
Absolutely.
Arms would be huge.
He said, the assault against me in a barrage of assaults using now disproven, unnamed, and anonymous sources. Many have already come forward to say that quotes by him, like the book, are fiction. Woodward, however, said he stands behind the book. He stands behind his reporting, which portrays Trump as an out of control and uninformed. That's how he's portrayed with staffers working together to attempt to reel him in. I publishing a book with his name on it is not new territory for Trump, by the way. He's written almost 20 books, including his popular The Art of the Deal with a lot of ghostwriters. His most recent book, Crippled America, How to Make America Great Again, that was published in 2016. So he's going to write his own book.
Didn't even know
that
one.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Well, don't, you know, if you wrote 20 books, don't write a nasty book, because he'll write his 21st.
Right. Why doesn't someone just print out all the tweets and put them
Somebody's
on the page?
Somebody's got to
well,
do.
That's going to be, yeah.
Well, somebody's
you know,
got to do something.
Danny
or at least
Zucker.
Make one of the best nursery mobiles
oh, yeah,
ever by
good.
Just taking Trump tweets and putting them on a
My
mobile.
My kid is so angry.
Yeah.
You know, Danny Zucker, the EP of
From
Modern
Greece?
Family. Danny Zucco.
Oh, is it Zucker?
It's Zucker.
It's Zucker.
Yeah, Z-U-K-E-R. He's the EP of Modern Family. He mm-hmm. has a book called, I believe it's called He Started It, and it's about his Twitter war with Donald Trump.
Oh, yeah.
It's pretty funny.
There's going to be, I mean, I can't believe how many books have come out in the last 18
yeah.
months. They
when
just
we found
keep,
that, yeah.
They just keep coming out. Yeah. It's insane. All right. Well, look, everything... As we talked about, the op-ed piece from the anonymous high-ranking official, all that sounded to me like, that sounded to me like Tuesday. Like
right.
this, he changes his mind, right. he jumps his subjects yeah. all over the place, he's sporadic, he gets upset, and then right. he comes back, and then we have to tell him, like, yeah, that all sounds like stuff I figured
on
was
brand.
Going on. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, just a little warning, though. I'm sure if you live in the area, you've already been warned enough. Hurricane Florence, expected to make landfall on Thursday. State and local officials in North Carolina, South Carolina, and Virginia have called for the evacuation of approximately 1.5 million people. So on Monday, Florence was up to a Category 4 hurricane. There are fears that the warm water off the U.S. coast could push the storm's wind speeds to 155 miles an hour when it makes landfall. So take cover, everybody, because this looks like a big one.
Where's it hitting? It's Florida.
North and South Carolina and Virginia.
Heavy
and,
flow day.
And we, oh, that's good. Mm-hmm. Aren't we getting so many more mega hurricanes and mega everything than we ever have?
I don't know.
There was Irma. What was the other one right after Irma? They were mega hurricanes.
Everything feels like more of everything.
Yeah.
Because the news is mega now. So I don't know. I'd
well,
have
they've
to...
showed pictures like this is a regular hurricane and this is Irma and this is Sandy. And it's just like, why are they triple the size?
Yeah, I don't.
But in California, in Hermosa Beach and Brea this weekend, the weather's looking pretty good.
It's going to be beautiful.
The Comedy Magic Club and the
Great
improv.
Visibility.
Who cares about the East Coast?
I mean, 80% chance of chuckles.
Yeah. I have a lot of friends there. I'm actually going to move there. Every time I think about moving somewhere, you know, it's, you know, I was hoping to have a lot of money someday, move up to Montecito, and then they got the mud.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter where you go now.
Fires.
You know?
And, yeah, that's true.
I just want to go to Columbus, Ohio, and, you know, I don't, I'm nothing against Columbus, Ohio. Great funny bone there, but I just can't see waking up there for the rest of my life.
Neither can Columbus.
Yeah. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, TMZ reports.
Hold on. Slayton can't see waking up here for the rest of our life. Townspeople, can you guys see Bobby Slayton waking up here for the rest of our lives? No.
I know you're here to see Journey, but please first welcome Bobby Slayton.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
TMZ reports that it
Happy
was just
you.
A matter of time, but Conor McGregor has finally been sued by a UFC fighter for that April bus attack at Barclays Center where
bus
he threw
attack.
That steel dolly through a window. For God's sake, it injured several people showing the video right now.
Yeah.
And you might need to help me with the pronunciation. The man behind the first lawsuit, Michael Chiesa. Chiesa.
Yeah, I think they do Chiesa or Chiesa.
We'll
yeah.
say Chiesa.
Got a nice beard.
Yeah, nice.
They threw it through. They busted the glass. He got glass.
Oh, and there's just a gash down his forehead. He was scheduled to fight Anthony Pettis at UFC 223, but was forced to pull out because of the injuries he got to his face from that exact moment. Chiesa suing McGregor for assault, battery, and intentional infliction of emotional distress.
If I was Michael Chiesa's attorney, or if I was McGregor's attorney, I would just go, I just have four big pictures. I'd have the one picture of him with the blood trickling down his forehead from the glass cut from what McGregor did by throwing the glass, throwing the hand truck or the dolly at the window. And then I'd have his last three fights. And I'd go,
which looks worse? Uh-huh.
Here's what he looks like when he goes to work, everybody. Here's what he's like on the bus.
He gets paid for this.
Now,
handsomely, I might add.
You can find me. You tell me which one was caused by my client, because he does have some blood, but the other one is orbital socket smashed. He's got two black eyes and all this stuff. And I would argue that if we're talking about Blair from Facts of Life, we got a lawsuit. Because here's a picture of her from Facts of Life. Do you see any abrasions on her face or swelling or anything whatsoever? And I think when she'd show up to the set, she couldn't expect for this kind of facial trauma.
No, not from Nancy McKeon.
But again, let's look back at some of the pictures of the last three times this guy entered the octagon. This is what it looked like on his way out.
Yeah.
This is basically him coming home from work, back to the locker room. He is a mess. Now, this is an upgrade from what he normally receives at work.
Yeah, one scratch, not 18.
All right, so I would argue these are special circumstances, like in Con Air, when the judge was explaining to Nick Cage that if you'd just been a regular guy, I wouldn't be throwing the book at you, but you're trained.
Wow.
You're an assassin, and now you have to go away because of these circumstances.
He must have had a bad
I can't believe you remember that.
I remember it well.
I think they're going to throw the case out if he does that defense.
Yeah, look, I'm looking at him up there. He looks worse up at work than he does. And look at him celebrating.
Yeah, he's
smiling. Look at him celebrating.
Smug.
You get nothing.
Well, he's also going after the Barclays Center for negligence because they failed to, secure the perimeter and not let a hand truck come flying through a bus window. So we'll see what happens.
All right.
If I ever did that to a comedy club, they go, well, that's your problem, not ours. They don't care. They don't care
really?
About this comedy. Well, not the Comedy Magic Club or the Brea Improv, but every other comedy club.
So you're saying, like, if Elaine Boozler grabbed a hand truck and attacked you in an Uber on the way out of the club.
Again?
Yeah, like that's why I use her name. I know there's a history.
She's famous for that.
I know there's a history there. Yeah, sorry.
You want one more?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Nobody who could have used a blowout more, a Brazilian blowout more.
Keratine treatment?
Than Elaine Boozler circa 1988. Find me a picture of Elaine Boozler.
It's a poster child.
A lot of kinky curls.
I will. Here's the battle. Take your time, Max Zapata. Mm. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
We'll do a new competition. Who could have used a blowout more? Chelsea Clinton or Elaine Boozler at the height of their I need a blowout powers?
Chelsea during the Clinton administration, I'm thinking.
Just take a look. We'll see.
A pubescent teenage
we'll
girl.
On it. First, I'll tell you about True Car, MSRP. You might know what it stands for, but what does it mean? Same goes for invoice, list price, dealer price. Can be confusing. Introducing True Price from True Car. Know exactly what you'll pay, including fees and accessories, before you get to the dealership. You know your true price is a great price because True Car shows you what other people paid for the exact same car. Apples to apples. You get your car. You do what our own Max Zapata did. I think Kalen went to True Car for his hopped-up Honda as well. They have certified dealers. They set their price competitively so they can win your business. So even within True Car, they're trying to set it competitively. So when you're ready to buy new or you're ready to buy used, you visit True Car. Enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states, but I bet you don't live in one of those states. It's the best. It is True Car. All right. Sorry, go ahead, Gina Graham.
Battle of the blowouts or news?
We'll give Max Pat a few
something.
More minutes.
By the way, great lager, Adam. Let me plug him. Start to talk about myself. This endless rant. Is this available in stores? This is great beer.
Glad you asked.
I didn't try the IPA though.
You'll like it even more if you can. If you're in California, you can get the IPA and the lager, Total Wine, and more, and go to Corolla Drinks and say hi to Lynette over there.
You can build a house. You fix cars. I fucking hate you. You're really good at. You're like your producer said. You're kind of a Renaissance man. You can do a lot of shit.
He said that.
Yeah.
Oh man. Okay.
Okay. Who wins the blowout competition?
Oh, man.
We're looking at a picture of Elaine Boozler, circa 1988.
88.
And Chelsea could have been around the same time.
Probably 92, 93, I'm guessing.
A little later.
That was unmarked. I'm looking.
Mm-hmm.
They both look like they'd be in that heavy metal band. What is it, Cinderella or
Twisted Sister?
Twisted Sister.
Whoa. Okay.
I like that Gina's vexed.
Well, at least Elaine sort of committed to a style.
Yeah, that's a choice.
Chelsea, being that age, didn't have a lot of choice but to just sort of grow it out and hope for the best.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
so I would say just to save her from a lot of teen bullying, Chelsea could have probably used that blowout
more. Yeah, because she probably went to a pretty rough school on the wrong side of the tracks.
She's 15.
I mean, even SNL made fun of her. She was,
that's,
you know, 13
true.
Years old.
I don't like that.
But those are both the worthy competitors.
Thank you.
Yeah, well done.
All right, let's do another.
All right. Well, I didn't realize until very recently what an Avril Lavigne fan you were, Adam.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I got some good news for you.
Oh, good.
Her first new album in 5 years is going to be out in September 19th. Avril says she wrote Head Above Water in bed during one of the worst bouts of Lyme disease she's ever had. Mm. She contracted it in 2014. She describes the time as, quote, the worst years of her life as she went through both physical and emotional battles. Lavigne adds that her foundation will launch a series of Lyme prevention resources and link them to people. Put them in touch with Lyme-literate doctors that have learned how to correctly diagnose this disease.
When we took a deep dive on her last year coming back from Laguna Seca, did we find out she had a whole cosmetic line or was it a clothing line?
What? Dude, are you gay?
I actually can't. I don't remember, but it was one of them. I think. Let me look it up.
She had a great lager. She had the better. She's the best lager. And with all due respect to your lager, that broad knows how to make beer.
I love sassy. Sassy spunky. Pop chicks, spunk. I like angry, like punky. Well, I don't know what it is.
You're
that
not
drives
afraid
me
of
nuts.
Them, but you're delighted by it.
No, because they're like 5 foot nothing and they're 93 pounds, but they're tough. They're not going to take any crap from anybody.
You're gay for saying
she's
that.
She's in both clothing and fragrance.
Uh huh. Mm-hmm.
Besides Skater Boy, what were her hits?
Oh, like Complicated.
Oh, right.
Oh, okay. Complicated is awesome. Mm-hmm. I love that song.
Yeah, that's our go-to.
That's our go-to.
Mm-hmm. I didn't realize that. Well, I didn't realize that was your go-to.
Oh, hell yeah.
Jesus.
She is hot, and that song is hotter. Brian comes hotter. Lots of complex rhyming.
I'm going to go with Chalk Stuff the Tool, too.
Ooh.
It's objectively a good song. I just don't want to blast this from the windows. At a bus stop.
Is this like a Mutt Lang type of...
Feels very Dust Brothers-y Mutt Lang.
Right.
You know, next time I come on, and I am coming back, you can make fun of my daughter, Natasha Slayton. She's got some great music.
All right.
She was in a band called GRL for a while, and then one of the girls killed herself, and then now she got a solo career. She's like her dad, a major talent, really good looking, but we're not making any money. But we're like the Barrymores.
You should open for Avril Lavigne next time she plays like
I'll
Canada.
My daughter.
The Matrix is the producer.
Oh, I love
her.
That
like outfit.
She's tough.
Yeah, she has a tie and
she
a white
just rhymed cool and fool. How many people could do that?
So many girls wearing ties in my high school.
Yes.
Oh, ties on a wife beater.
Yeah.
This goes against the ethos of everything I think of when I think about a Corolla. Like, this is so put on. This is such a creation. This is like, oh, I'm 13. I'm somehow very angry at the world.
But that crosses over into adorable for Adam.
At least she's not on a dock pretending to play guitar.
Yeah.
It could be a lot worse.
Look, I'll give you guys some insight psychologically as far as I go. I'm attracted to the opposite of my mom in every facet of my life.
I'll buy it.
Everything. And so anytime I come across a woman who's the further away you get from my mom, the more I'm into you.
Smiles, has goals.
And Avril Lavigne is super far away from my mom. So again, just the further away you can get from my mom, the more I'm into you.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying?
Understood.
And that factors... That's hair, that's physicality, but that's also
confidence.
Making money.
Yeah.
Like, she's an entrepreneur.
She's
my mom's complaining, like, this government cheese is so dry. I love her. And she had to break my heart by, like, marrying that Sum 41 douche.
I wasn't it? It was like Creed or Nickelback.
No, yeah.
Yeah. Later was yeah. it was him.
Oh, yeah, she went first, and then
she
then
basically married her with shorter hair. Like that guy was like a little miniature pop guy too,
tough,
with like
the
little cherubish look to him. Like he had her look. He was. Her.
Right.
You have friends. I mean? I have friends back in New York that literally kind of married their mother. They got that Jewish annoying. When I got married, I stayed, I'm like you, attracted to them so far away from anything like me, like my family. But I don't, do you know guys that kind of.
Yeah, and I don't like it. I see, first off, look, I'm never going to have you. I get it.
Talking to me or her?
I'm talking to anyone listening, but including my wife. But. I'd like to at least picture you having sex with somebody, you know?
And anybody.
If, and if you had dated Rob Gronkowski or somebody like that, then I could really fantasize. But you're dating someone who weighs less than you.
Yeah.
It's not even good for my fantasies. You know what I mean? He was like a little miniature guy.
Yeah.
So like, who wants to see two little flyweights have sex? You know what I mean?
Even his last name, Derek Whibley.
Oh,
can you imagine if she
Harry
was
Potter.
Dating like what
right.
if she what if she was
spell.
What if she was like dating Karl Malone?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Now we're
like, Jesus Christ,
that's a
I got a picture of that.
Yeah.
Oh my God, what's that? How's that work? You know
Hakeem
what I mean?
Olajuwon.
He's oh, an Jesus. Inch and a half taller than she is, and they weigh the same.
They have the same arms.
Yeah.
Where
no
does
good.
She rank on the people who'd be disgusted to have sex with you, you think?
Nah, she's Canadian. She's cool.
Oh, wow.
I don't know.
She's polite.
I'd like to think she's top 15, maybe not top 10.
You know, people say me and my girlfriend look alike. We don't see it, but we're two skinny little... People say, is that your sister? It's
oh,
my
gosh.
Girlfriend. You know, I've got
tough.
That a few times.
Yeah.
So it's okay that they kind of look alike.
Favor each other.
Yeah, sister's a lot better than mom.
I don't think we look alike, but people have said that.
All right, let me tell you about Castrol Edge real quick. Heat, friction, viscosity breakdown rob your engine of maximum performance. Friction results in a loss of performance of up to 10%. Castrol Edge, engineered with fluid titanium technology, physically transforms to be stronger under pressure. Helps fight friction and deliver maximum levels of performance for your car. Three times,
fool.
Stronger against viscosity breakdown than leading oils. Castrol Edge, unlocked. The true performance in your car's engine. All right, one more, Gina Graham.
All right. Well, the Tooth Fairy is leaving more money than ever before.
I'm worried about
yes.
this.
Okay, quick whip around. Well, Adam, you don't get to play because I'm quite sure you didn't get anything. How much did the Tooth Fairy leave for you?
Oh, on rare occasion, I got a quarter or a dime or
quarter
something.
Quarter a dime.
Something like that.
I think I got a dollar.
Okay.
I think a quarter. Yeah, we're talking about the 60s, though.
Yeah. It would adjust for inflation. 60,
yeah. Well, just.
Yeah.
Okay.
Quarter.
That's good money.
Quarter.
Yeah, I got a dollar as well. And they say it was 50 cents was the norm, but now, guess how much is, according to moneyish.com, what is totally normal to leave under your kid's pillow for a tooth?
I don't like the word normal. I want average, or I want like,
okay,
a range.
Average.
No, what I'm saying is I don't like them. Like they're normalizing
right.
whatever this number is going to be.
Oh,
it's
you're
like,
not
oh,
going to like
normal.
It.
And,
yeah,
and girls don't get as much as boys because the boys get more money.
Right, on the dollar.
Yeah, sure.
So
70,
you're talking about
7% less.
95 cents on the dollar.
Okay. Lynette just leaves her ATM with the pin on a post-it note under there. And the kids can sleep because you slide it right under
right.
there.
They have a square.
All money is weird. Like I saw my son. He's in the seventh grade, and he was leaving for school the other day. And I was like, where's your lunch? And he's like, ah, I got it. And I'm like, what do you got? And he, like, waved a 20 at me. And I was like, I was back in the seventh grade. Like, what? That's Christmas and birthday. What are you doing?
You're gonna franchise a Taco Bell?
You're going to get rolled on the way to school with that kind of cash. Like, it's like, he's just like waving a 20. And I was like, wait a minute, is that my 20? He's like, no, it's mine. He's just going to school.
Since
maybe he'll buy lunch for his friends. Like, remember how everything was so intense
buy
and crazy?
Lunch.
Like, who's buying? That's my money, and give me that.
Wow.
Yeah. All right, so
all
we're going to be
so
sticking
I'm gonna tell
$10.
You, okay.
I'm going to say five and be disappointed.
Five.
Anywhere.
Five.
All right, the first couple of teeth, 20.
What?
And then once you start getting used to the process, you can go down to five.
Gross.
Mm-hmm. Per tooth. How many teeth do we have? 32?
It's not
going to
happen.
31?
It's not going to happen.
A lot of teeth.
So, you start with 20 and then you go down. Then I would think you go start
they
low
cheap out,
and
yeah.
work your way up.
I bet the Tooth Fairy makes the rules, not me.
There's a Grateful Dead song which will tell you how many Alabama Getaway. It'll tell you how many teeth are in a jawbone, right, Dawson?
That is Alabama Getaway.
Wow.
They will tell you that there's 32 teeth in a jawbone?
I got to look up the lyrics, but I'm going to say 70-something? Let's see. I haven't heard the song in a long time.
No, we're not sharks.
70 teeth?
Two rows. There's 32.
Dawson, we're
35
not talking about,
on top, 35
we're not talking
on
about prefab burritos here. We're talking about teeth.
32.
But there is a song which will let you know how to, you know, like how I learned how to spell Saturday from the Bay City Rollers. Learn how many teeth.
Learn what back to the Scripps National Spelling Bee. Your next word is Saturday.
Learn how conjunctions function.
There's a lot of Grateful Dog songs. Yeah, see, 82 teeth in a jawbone.
No, wait a minute.
That's what they said.
Wait, play it again.
Not 82 teeth.
Not 82 teeth.
We don't have rows.
I haven't heard this song in years.
See, 32.
You're going to apologize anytime.
Let's look up the lyrics.
That was very obviously 32.
This is Dawson at his most Dawson-ass.
The lyrics, the first words are 32 teeth in a jawbone. Alabama's trying for none.
That's their lyrics are so hard to understand at times.
Well, what makes it easier is knowing.
It sound like 32, right?
Right. But if somebody said 171 inches in a foot, I'd know that it probably wasn't. You know what I mean? It'll be a clue. It's well, either way, it's a good song.
Yeah. Indeed, we all agree on that.
Doesn't change that.
All right, anyway, that's how I know how many teeth are in a jawbone.
Yep, 82.
82. I actually have gone through life without even knowing what that word means. I've only picked up on the number 82. I never heard jawbone.
Oh.
I never looked up the lyrics and never really cared. But
in a job line?
In terms of us apologizing at our own discretion, how about we put this one off a little bit?
I'll just apologize to you right now. I'm sorry, boss.
Takes a big man. All right. Anyway, I've never brought that song up, as far as I can tell, on the show.
Or any Grateful Dead song.
I knew it would solve our vexing question of how many teeth were in a jawbone.
Have you brought up Con Air before? I can't believe you remember that. And the Bay City Rollers.
This is the longest I've gone between bringing up Con Air.
Entire show.
Yes, in sharp contrast, or sharp Con Air to my Alabama getaway. Grateful Dead is one of those bands where they have songs I hate and songs I love, and that's one of the ones I love.
Where do you stand on Shakedown Street?
Let's see.
Dawson's not a fan.
Dawson says down.
It's a departure from what you'd think Grateful Dead does, so I was curious.
Well, you know, it goes 45 fingers on it.
All right, I like Hell in a Bucket.
It's a Grateful Dead song.
That's Shakedown.
It's Pink Floyd.
It sounds like it.
I don't know the song.
It kicks in.
All right. I don't want to get disco. Bring it down. Let me tell you about Geico. Everyone's got the to-do list. How about you save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance? You don't have to go anywhere. Just go to geico.com. 15 minutes. You could be saving 15% more or more on your auto insurance. Take that extra money. Put it in your pocket. It'll be the most rewarding thing you do all day. It is Geico. Geico.com. Take a couple minutes and find out just how much money you could be saving on your auto insurance at Geico.com. All right, let's bring it home, Gina Grad.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Yeah, all right. Bring on the bitch. Gina
Grad. That was the news with Gina Grad.
Hey, enjoy on Pluto TV, our chassis network over there, and watch all our documentaries and films. You guys have been tweeting me about that stuff, so thank you. You can go ahead and check that out. And Adam Carolla Goes Racing, check that out. Still up in England on that at motortrend.com/M. Slayton, Bobby Slayton's going to be Hermosa Beach. That is this Friday, Comedy Magic Club. And then Brea Improv, that's this Saturday. Always funny, always great. Go to BobbySlayton.com for dates all over the place.
You know, I got to come back and talk about all the stuff I planned that I never got to. Oh, and I had to. Oh, I forgot so many plugs. You know, my friend from Skechers Shoe Company wants to advertise on your show. They gave me a pile of free shoes for you guys. I think I forgot them.
Oh, come on.
I mean?
Nice,
I got to go to my car. They gave me a couple of coupons to give me free shoes. They're the best shoes in the world. Oh. I had to plug them. Your beer, to sit in Skechers and drink your beer and watch my new special, which is coming out soon. I haven't taped it yet, but that would be like a great
That'd be a great weekend.
That'd be a great weekend.
Yeah, I suggest go to the park and nothing but Skechers with a sixer and my beer.
Let me see if I have. Oh, your beer's great. I'm going to go try the IPA.
Oh, Avril Lavigne is dating a billionaire from Texas. Damn it. Hey, Tom Berenger.
Oh, my God.
In studio tomorrow with David Keith as well. Avril Lavigne.
What is that? What are we looking
at? He's driving a concept car from the 60s, early 70s.
Wow.
Anyway, let's not get... All right, here we go. We're bringing it home. I want to thank RJ Bell. I want to thank Bobby Slayton.
Thank you.
Go to amcarolla.com, find the live shows. We'll see you in Seattle coming up tomorrow. Until next time, this is Adam for everyone saying mahalo.
Why do you put this guy in the show? The worst comic. This guy's such a hack.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow Mace on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Leave us a message at 888-634-1744. Be sure and download the new podcast from Bald Brian and Sonny Carolla. It's called Fantasy BS. It is available on iTunes and Podcast One and all everywhere where you get your podcasts. See us at the Moore Theater on Thursday night. Still a few tickets available. Get yours at adamcarolla.com. And the World Championship of Guacamole. Register now at official WCOG.com. For tickets and info on all the Carolla events, books, movies, beer, mangria, and more, visit AdamCarolla.com.